Welcome to Nice News. This is an interesting broadcast about some unusual topics. I'm Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. On Nice News, we cover information from all over the world on many different topics. The program provides a time out from the daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of topics. Who knows what you might hear? You might remember something from times past, or you might learn something new. So please, give us a listen. Our first article today is Meet Splash, the country's first search and recovery otter who can find missing people underwater. When most people think of animals that support grueling search and rescue efforts in the wake of disasters, crime, or conflict, they picture dogs, and those canines can really make a difference. But one thing that can't do for long periods of time is to do this work underwater. So Michael Hadstall, president of Florida-based Peace River Canine Search and Rescue, has turned to river otters, specifically Splash. After 46 years in search and rescue world, Hadstall has worked with canines, horses, and drones across the United States and internationally. Once he realized there was a need to improve underwater missions, a spark of inspiration took hold. I was reading an article on a flight back from Los Angeles about otters and how they possibly can work odor underwater and hunt underwater, using odor and using their whiskers, Hadstall said to the magazine, the American Animal Hospital Association. And I started thinking, well, if they can work odor underwater, then we can train them. So he was a man with a plan. Hadstall went to the Moat Marine and Aquarium in Sarasota, Florida, where he observed training working with otters. He realized it was extremely similar to training a dog. I realized at that point that I think we can do this. We can make this happen. And so we went to work. As it turns out, otters are incredibly intelligent and have strong sensory organs that can sniff out human remains. While Splash is mostly focused on search and recovery, not rescue, his role is paramount to bringing closure to people who may have lost loved ones. In fact, bodies of water like oceans and lakes have long been places where human remains are never recovered. But Splash can hold his breath for 5 minutes, and he's easy to train. In his home swimming pool, Hadstall hides an object that's been marked with the odor of a human remain, then places the same smell on a ball at the end of a stick. When he gives him a signal, Splash will sniff the ball and dive into the pool to seek out the target. Otters smell underwater in a unique way. Blowing bubbles at target and then quickly breathing them back in where they absorb the odors. Once Splash captures an odor target, he alerts his handler, who's often diving with him. He comes up and starts grabbing my mask to tell me he's got something. He's not going to let me get away until I start moving forward. Splash wears a custom harness to be attached to Hadstall underwater. Once he spots a scent target, he lays on top of it so humans can mark a precise search area. And when Splash is successful, he gets a piece of salmon. It has to be farm-raised salmon, Hadstall quipped to Outside Magazine. He won't eat wild salmon. So far, Splash has been successful in the field. After 4 months of training, he was able to help recover a weapon used in a 25-year-old murder case. At just 8 months old, he was able to locate human DNA on a clay brick at the bottom of a lake, bringing closure to a family of a murder victim. And he's been called on at least 20 other recovery missions since then. There are still safety concerns that keep the otter safe and well. Splash can work in all kinds of water, freshwater or saltwater, but even if it's perfectly clear and if currents are strong, he stays back too. He's not allowed to go any deeper than 30 feet, and if currents are strong, he stays back. The search has to qualify for the otter, or we don't use him, Hadstall told AAHA. And then, of course, there are predators in open waters that pose a risk to Splash. I have folks on team who wear shirts that say Otter Spotter on them. They watch for alligators and anything else, so they're constantly keeping track of him so we know where he is and where the dangers are. Otters are also sensitive to illness, though Splash's protective oil keeps him protected in murky waters. But on rare occasions, he needs a bath with Dawn dish soap, and then he takes to a few days to let the oils balance out. As finicky as his nature may be, Splash has become a beloved member of PRSARK9 team, even working alongside search and rescue canines like his best buddy Nova. He's out there with the rest of them, wanting to do his thing, Hasdell told AAHA. He's part of our team now. This article, entitled Meet Splash, the country's first search and recovery otter who can find missing people underwater. Our next article, 6,500 volunteers build 10,000 beds for kids who have none in just 24 hours. In a joyful display of community spirit, 6,500 volunteers came together in Charlotte, North Carolina to create an incredible 10,027 beds for children in need within just 24 hours. This heartfelt initiative took place in the Charlotte Convention Center, where employees from Lowe's worked side by side with many others, all united by a common purpose: to support the wonderful charity Sleep in Heavenly Peace. Amid the bustling atmosphere, Jenna Restrepo, a product manager at Lowe's, reflected on the significance of her work. Although she lost track of how many boards she had sanded and assembled, her thoughts were filled with gratitude for her own children. "I'm so fortunate to be able to put them in their own beds. I hope every child feels as safe and comfortable as mine," she shared. The need for beds is pressing, with over 140,000 children in the United States currently awaiting a place to sleep, as highlighted by Sleep in Heavenly Peace. This initiative was made possible through the collaboration of generous partners including Bank of America, Honeywell, Rebuilding Together, and the Charlotte Hornets, who all joined forces to make a difference. Transforming 200 miles of raw lumber into a multitude of beds required exceptional teamwork and coordination, showcasing the power of community. Volunteers worked tirelessly, utilizing 2,000 gallons of stain, more than 730,000 wood screws, and nearly 18,000 sanding discs to bring their vision to life. Each of the 16 assembly lines were filled with enthusiastic participants, cutting, sanding, assembling, and finishing the beds in perfect harmony. As the sounds of tools eventually quieted, the fruits of their labor were evident. Stacks of completed beds stood ready to be distributed to families across 36 states, thanks to the dedicated efforts of 110 chapters of Sleep in Heavenly Peace. For the Lowe's associates involved, this event was an uplifting opportunity to step beyond their daily routines and contribute to something truly meaningful, Dr. Douglas Kirsch, a medical director of sleep medicine at Atrium Health, emphasized, the importance of sleep for children, noting, "Without consistent quality sleep, kids fall behind in ways that affect their health and learning ability. The simple act of providing a bed opens up a world of possibilities to those young children." This article, 6,500 volunteers build 10,000 beds for kids who have none in just 24 hours. Brianna Alvarado writes, researchers discover a new gigantic species of dinosaur in Thailand. Scientists say they've identified the longest long-necked herbivore dinosaur to ever live in Southeast Asia, and it could be the last remains of the species that they will ever find. Titiwut Perth Sethpanik Sakul, a Thai PhD student at the University of College London Earth Sciences and the lead author of the study, is calling it the last titan of Thailand. "We won't find any more dinosaur fossils in any younger rocks in Thailand, making this dinosaur kind of the last giant of its kind that we could possibly find in the region." Locals in the Chaiyaphum province of northeastern Thailand were the first to discover the dinosaur's fossils in 2016. Embedded in a rock formation alongside of a pond, the region's Department of Mineral Resources excavated 10 bones, including a front leg bone estimated to be nearly 6 feet. In fact, when I first saw the specimen, the kind of front leg bone is actually taller than me, which is quite surprising, the researcher said. Excavation teams continued digging for evidence until they ran out of funding in 2020. After receiving a grant from the National Geographic Society in 2023, the researchers joined forces with a team of researchers, and together they stepped in to complete the study. From the remains, scientists found that they had unearthed something larger than any previous dinosaur species documented in Southeast Asia, a massive dinosaur estimated to have weighed approximately 27 tons when it roamed the Earth. That's more than twice the size of the world's largest living land mammal, the African elephant. The dinosaur is very unique for us, especially in Southeast Asia, because of its size. It is massive in comparison to what we currently know. Scientists say that the dinosaur lived 100 to 120 million years ago during the Cretaceous period. Prehistoric Thailand is home to some of the most diverse dinosaurs in all of Asia. I would like to think of this as the next big boom of dinosaurs in Southeast Asia, the discoverer said. Discovering it was more than an announcement of a new dinosaur. It created an opportunity to reignite interest in paleontology in Thailand, which only entered the world of paleontology in 1986. We've only been studying dinosaurs in Thailand for 40 years. The world has known about dinosaurs for over 200 years. We are trying to get people, especially in rural areas, to understand the values of paleontology. And we do that through outreach and things like having a brand new dinosaur to announce to get people excited and to help us out. This article by Brianna Alvarado, researchers discover a new gigantic dinosaur species in Thailand. Dad and daughter travel 600 miles to rescue two baby cows. In the heartwarming world of animal rescue, a remarkable tale of transformation and friendship unfolds. In the dairy industry, male calves often face uncertain futures as only female cows are capable of producing milk. Typically, male calves are seen as mere byproducts, with their path leading them to one of three outcomes: being raised for veal, raised for beef, or sadly euthanized shortly after birth. However, this story takes a delightful turn. Two compassionate farmers decided to grant two calves a chance for a brighter future, allowing them to escape the lush and sunny fields of Rosie's Farm Sanctuary in Potomac, Maryland. All it took was a little help to make the dream come to reality. Enter filmmaker Joanna Zellman, who along with her father embarked on a 600-mile journey to rescue the calves. They prepared their car with tarps and hay, filled with excitement and hope for the adventure ahead. Zellman expressed her joy, saying, "As a filmmaker, sometimes I hear about animals needing help, and I can't do anything about it. But this time we could." Their hearts were open to the possibilities. Upon reaching the farm, Zellman's father, a self-declared burger lover, found himself unexpectedly moved upon meeting the first calf, Mickey. "I didn't think I was going to have such an attachment," he shared in a documentary called Cow Trip. His newfound connection sparked anticipation for Mickey's future. "I'd like to see him in a few years. We're going to save his life," he said. Mickey, a charming black and white calf, soon found companionship in Moose, a sweet brown and white calf. Initially facing a health concern, both calves brought comfort to one another, creating a warm and reassuring atmosphere in the back of the car. As they continued their journey, a wave of calm enveloped them. Upon their arrival at Rosie's, a sanctuary dedicated to providing a safe haven for animals, the calves were ready for their new lives. "We finally got to Rosie's," Zellman said. "It's a sanctuary where we rescue animals that just can't live free." The moment they stepped into the barn, Mickey and Moose began to frolic joyfully, playfully kicking up hay as they embraced their new surroundings. They were lovingly quarantined for a month to ensure their health and safety. Once they were free to roam, their personalities blossomed. Once they were free, their personalities started to really come out, Zelman remarked. She hoped to reunite Mickey with his mother, affectionately named 22, but regrettably she was unable to make the journey due to an injury. In her honor, Zelman dedicated her documentary, Cow Trip, to her memory. Though the film premiered on May 14th on the Dodo's YouTube channel, the journey of Mickey and Moose began 4 years ago, and they have thrived at Rosie's farm sanctuary ever since. Today, Mickey and Moose are cherished members of the sanctuary, where they share an unbreakable bond as best friends and brothers. They enjoy a life filled with grazing, exploring, and relishing each other's company. The sanctuary joyfully highlights Mickey as a lovable goofball, always on the lookout for his next snack, while Moose embodies a gentle spirit, often lost in thought as he gazes across the pasture and grazes lovingly, seemingly crafting poems in the sunshine. Reflecting on their journey, the sanctuary beautifully stated, 4 years ago, they were two rescued calves on a road trip toward hope. Now they are giant, joyful boys living the kind of life they were never supposed to have. This article, Dad and Daughter Travel 600 Miles to Rescue Two Baby Calves. Mrigachi Dixit writes, weird witch crocodile with beak and tiny arms discovered in New Mexico. Fossilized remains of bizarre crocodile ancestors were unearthed from Ghost Ranch, New Mexico, a bizarre, newly discovered reptile from the Triassic Age. But it didn't look like a crocodile at all. This creature navigated a wild, primordial world on two legs, brandishing tiny arms and a toothless, beaked smile. It is, for all intents and purposes, a crocodile masquerading as an ostrich. We see a lot of the successful strategies for modern animals and non-avian dinosaurs first arise in the Triassic Age, and Chuvasaurus are great examples of that convergent evolution, said Dr. Alan Turner, lead author. Bipedalism is certainly a unique path for crocodile relatives to take, but it's a path well trod by dinosaurs and later birds. It obviously worked for these animals, Turner added. The fossil was unearthed at Ghost Ranch, a legendary landscape that has spent decades expanding our view of ancient history. Its name carries a colorful history, which is translated into witch crocodile, a direct nod to Ranchos de los Brujas, which is Ranch of the Witches, an old Spanish moniker for Ghost Ranch. According to local lore, 19th century rancheros used the spooky name to frighten people away from their cattle rustling operation. The species name, Expectatus, points to how the fossil record works. Paleontologists have already found a Chuvasaurid, the group of crocodile relatives that this crocodile finding belongs to, and it's from an earlier Triassic era. They knew a missing link had to be waiting in the middle. The discovery was quite literally the expected unexpected. We wanted to highlight how the fossil records work. Finding one Chuvasaur from earlier in the Triassic and one from the later meant that we paleontologists knew they were probably more from in between, waiting to be discovered and described. Bizarre body plan. To understand this dinosaur, you have to understand the Triassic era. It was an epoch of frantic, magnificent evolutionary experimentation. The planet was a veritable Star Wars cantina of bizarre body plans. This particular dinosaur shared its ecosystem with creatures like Trypanosaurus, a tree dweller with a sloth-like claw and prehensile tail, and Van Cleavia, an enarmored aquatic mini-tank. It was an era where nature was throwing everything at the wall to see what struck. This is what scientists call convergent evolution. When completely unrelated animals evolve identical survival strategies. Despite being an ancient relative of modern four-legged toothy crocodiles, the newly discovered Triassic archosaur, Labrujasuchus, looked surprisingly like a crustaceous ostrich mimic dinosaur. The Chuvasauridae family is a group of ancient crocodiles that evolved body plans similar to bipedal, small-armed, theropod dinosaurs. This bizarre creature completely defied crocodile anatomy by navigating its world on two legs, sporting tiny arms, and utilizing toothless beaked mouth. The ancient world can feel entirely alien, yet the body plan of these long-gone oddities still echoes in the wildlife we see today. By studying how these creatures diversified, succeeded, and ultimately vanished, scientists hope to gain a clearer lens into how to protect our modern endangered weirdos. The Triassic past, it seems, is always ready to tell us about our future. Migrachi Dixit wrote, "Weird Witch Crocodile with Beak and Tiny Arms Discovered in New Mexico." Help, I hoard things. The science behind why we hold on to possessions and expert tips on letting them go. It starts out small, a pile of yearbooks here, a book of old photos there. But before you can turn around, if you can turn around, all surfaces in your home are overflowing with things and findings. A clear walkway is like finding a needle in a clutter stick. It's natural to want to hold on to items that mean a lot to us. But unmanageable amounts of clutter can make our lives more difficult. So why do we do it? To answer this, Nice News dove into the science behind why we cling to our possessions, even when it can worsen our mental health. And although it only affects 2.6% of the population, hoarding disorder can sometimes be the reason for these symptoms, according to the American Psychiatric Association. So, we invested the differences between hoarding tendencies and the disorder itself. We also picked the brains of clinical psychologist Mary E. Dozier and professional organizer Vicki Silverthorne to learn how to get the decluttering process going for those who are just looking to clear the chaos and minimize the mess. Spoiler alert, it starts with a mindset shift. We're wired to love stuff. According to Dozier, there are three reasons we tend to hold on to certain things. They may be useful in the future, they have sentimental value, or they contain important information. It's normal to feel discomfort when considering letting an item go. Silverthorne added that feeling of unease may be connected to us not using it yet, worrying we might need it, or figuring future regret. Another reason we hold on to clutter may have to do with its perceived value. A 2021 study described specialness spiral, the idea that not using items in our home may actually increase their worth in our eyes, leading us to keep them around even if they serve no purpose. Cue the clutter. It's important to note that the perceived value is a key factor here. It can be tough to part with both large, expensive items and small, insignificant ones. Sometimes the emotional response is just as strong regardless of the item's size or value. Strong as the inclination is to hold on to things, Silverthorne suggests the importance of lightening our load. Clutter can affect our mood, productivity, ability to think clearly, and overall mental processing. It can contribute to stress, impact our well-being, and really alter our focus. For a free-flowing house and free-flowing mind, reducing clutter really does help. Free your mind and your home will follow. Ready to ditch the disarray and reclaim your space? There are plenty of practical ways to get started. But first, it's helpful to get yourself into a clear headspace. Start small and give it a go. Sit with the discomfort and ask yourself, what's the worst that could possibly happen? Usually the worst is just a fleeting moment of regret, a passing thought about an item, and that's it. It doesn't truly impact your life beyond that moment. Returning to the reason of why the decluttering is happening is the first place, because more space is needed, order is wanted, or there's just too much stuff to be contended with. The only solution is to have less, so there's an element of needing to be brave at the start. And if you're feeling a little intimidated, Dozier grants you full permission to give yourself some grace. The items in your house were accumulated over a lifetime, and decluttering your home or any home will not happen in an afternoon. Letting yourself conquer one small thing at a time can help you get a sense of progress without feeling overwhelmed. When you're ready to get started, both pros advise working in smaller increments. For example, instead of trying to tackle the whole kitchen, start with one drawer. Are there any things in that drawer you can feel you can immediately discard? If so, start with those items. Silverthorne tried and true method can also help you structure your decluttering process. Pull everything out, sort it into rough categories, and then get rid of everything you no longer need or want. Only after you've put everything you're keeping back into its proper spot should you purchase any additional storage. Everything in your home should have a place to live, she noted. And don't forget to give yourself pats on the back along the way. Once you create some space, let yourself reflect on the accomplishments before moving on to the next place. This article, Help! I Hoard Things, The Science Behind Why We Hold On to Possessions and Expert Tips on Letting Them Go. Well, we're coming to the conclusion of our program for today, and I wanted to give you this thought for the day from Henry David Thoreau. I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life. Henry David Thoreau. And Maya Angelou adds a little bit to that when she says, I can be changed by what happens to me, but I refuse to be reduced by it. Maya Angelou. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's articles. Please join us again next time when we cover some unusual stories on Nice News. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well, be happy. Bye-bye.